You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dog Pound kids 7 to 12 years of age are invited to sign up for the Cleveland Browns Youth Football Camp, where they will work with the top high school coaches in a three-day camp focused on passing, kicking, blocking, and defense on the first field of First Energy Stadium. They'll also receive hands-on coaching with the new Browns rookies. Choose from two convenient sessions, June 8th to the 10th, and June 15th to the 17th. Don't delay. Sign your kids up today on clevelandbrowns.com. Spaces are filling up quickly. Young Master Wilhelm will be in attendance there at the Browns Youth Football Camp. But joining us now for his return to the radio, Kevin Jones. It seemed like it was only years ago that Hump Day with KJ started. It lasted 1 week, but now you're back, and you're better than ever.
What's it feels good.
On, it does feel good to have you back here. You've been cranking out a ton of stuff at clevelandbrowns.com after this draft. You guys have been prolific over there. But one article you wrote recently really kind of caught my eye, and it was 12 questions. It was a question about each of the Browns' 12 draft picks. And what kind of went into that, and what did you learn from doing that article, putting that together?
So the Browns did an excellent job in the draft. We start off that with Ray Farmer and everyone in the scouting department. Really, I think this is going to be a great class. But when you come to the NFL, I think every player has a question mark, something to prove. So I dug deep in the scouting reports, talked to a couple of people I know around the league, and I thought I presented it in article form. What can everyone work on? We'll start with Danny Shelton. Will he be a pass rushing force in the NFL? 9 sacks at the defensive tackle position at Washington. I don't know if that type of production is going to happen from him as a rookie. Is he going to be more of a run stopper? Is he going to be a balanced guy? You look at Haloti Ngata, who he's drawn comparisons to. He's going to not be exactly him, but Ngata has 25 and a half sacks in 9 seasons. So I don't know if you're going to get the 9 sacks from Danny Shelton. I will say this: you can be an effective pass rusher by collapsing pockets. It's not all about numbers. So
that's right. I believe the Browns daily over under, you set it at what, 4?
5.5.
5.5? 4.5. 4.5.
No, 5. I think it was
5.
You had a 4.5, and I think I had a 5.5.
5 would be, I think, a monstrous number.
A huge number.
It'd be awesome.
It's from what I saw on tape of him.
That's why
he
like
can
him so
make
much.
That impact, especially now that you've got Orchard as a pass rush threat, or and Mingo opposite of Kruger. Now, as well as, you know, those inside dogs with Dansby, Robertson, Kirksey, whoever it is, you've got another threat, and it comes in the form of a guy who can not only stop the run but can play the pass as well. And my question to you is, how much for us, for you, if we're able to watch or really review what goes on at a rookie minicamp, can we really find out about a lot of these guys?
That will be tough. I mean, we will have full access. I know last year was kind of different with Johnny in town. We only had 15 minutes access. We'll be out there the full time. I don't think hitting-wise, defensive line, you're going to be able to tell much from Danny Shelton. I think you look more at Vince Maley. I think you look more at Duke Johnson, how they kind of move out of the backfield. Where are they lining up Duke Johnson? Is he going to get some screen passes out there? Are they going to use him flexed out as a receiver at some point? So for me, a rookie minicamp is more about the skill positions, maybe the cornerbacks too. Charles Gaines will be out there most likely. So I look more at that at a minicamp, because for me, as someone who doesn't have your acumen, Wilhelm, of football, I can't tell linemen they're not going as hard in a minicamp. So I'm going to have my eyes on Duke Johnson, Vince Maley, and Charles Gaines for the minicamp.
I remember last year at the minicamp, Isaiah Crowell's just burst stood out at the rookie minicamp, and you knew that he had something there. I'm very excited to see Duke Johnson and what he can do. Talk about Xavier Cooper, a guy that many Browns fans don't know much about, but that this team is thrilled to have gotten.
I swear the coaches might have been doing cartwheels when he fell in the third round. This was their guy, talking with Anthony Weaver. What they love about Coop is he knocks back offensive linemen. And in this scheme, that's what the Browns coaches value most. That causes disruption. It opens up holes. So he has brute strength at 293 pounds. Something Jim O'Neill told me, though, they're going to have to work on his run technique. He was known more as a pass rusher in Washington State, so they're going to have to work on that technique. What does that exactly mean, Wilhelm, when they have
In some cases, I mean, when you're a full-time starter at the college level, you can get away with little inadequacies because you're simply just more talented or more powerful than other players. But I think what he has to do, and what Jim O'Neill talked about here in the Dog Bowl with that, earning the opportunity to rush the passer, is you've got to play run first. And in some cases, there's guys, they get drafted extremely, you know, extremely high. You know, Nate Orchard's one of those guys, as we heard from Dane Brugler, said, you know, he just runs around people because he's more athletic. Well, he's going to have to learn to be ready to not only take on a tight end or a tackle on a run play, but then also, too, taking that same course, reading the play, reading his intent as a blocker, and then transition that right into a pass move, whether it's a spin, whether it's a swim, you know, the up and under. And that's what a nose tackle has to do as well. You get into a stance, and or the reason why guys play on certain downs and distances and not others is because this guy gets into a stance because he's a run stopper. He gets down and dirty. He's expected to take a double team, you know, but he's going to grind it out knowing that everyone around him is going to make those plays. He's not expected to make a play. But when you draft a guy like Xavier Cooper, who will impact first and foremost on pass but needs to learn how to play the run, he needs to find that comfort, that happy medium in his stance to where I can take on a double team, but then also to split it, swim a guy, make a move, may have something in my head planned ahead of schedule or reactive to what the offensive line gives him to where I can still transition from potentially taking a double team into stopping the run or stopping a pass. I'm sorry.
That defensive line room, Nathan, I mean – we talked about it last year, too, and it got decimated by injuries. But heading into the spring, this room is deep.
It's a very deep defensive line room, and there's going to be a lot of competition, and you wonder how many of those guys are going to be able to make it, and then how many of those guys are going to be able to get playing time.
It's tough. I mean, it's going to be tough, and there was, you got to think Cooper and Shelton, with the high picks, they're obviously going to be locked. So if you're a veteran here, you really have to take all this OTAs and minicamp serious, and I think that'll raise the competition in the building. That's exactly what Ray Farmer wants.
He did, and that's what, you know, the question I asked him is, there's only 53 spots, you know, and I initially, just knowing we drafted 12 guys, two of which Ifo and Telfer will most likely start the season on injured reserve or some type of inactive stance, so they won't count towards the roster. But then you got to figure 6 out of 10 of these guys are going to make the team, you know, and then the competition that we've added via free agency, so the numbers just, you know, they add up. And then it also comes into play is the personality of the head football coach. And I think that Mike Pettine as a defensive coach is going to want to be very corner happy.
Right.
He's going to be very happy, you know, and I mean, when I say corner heavy. He's going to want to be defensive line heavy. And I think because of the lesson you learned last year at offensive line, we're going to be offensive line heavy as well.
And we haven't even introduced the undrafted rookies yet either. Right. So those are going to be taking up spots too.
Sure.
You talked about Charles Gaines, watching him, Campbell, Gaines, Ifo all go day three in the defensive backfield. Obviously, Ifo's a ways away from playing, but in your article and talking to people about Campbell and Gaines, what was your take there?
We'll start with Gaines, and it's funny. When he was drafted in the sixth round, his conference call lasted 14 minutes, double of any other of the prospects. Guy has a motor mouth. He likes to talk. He's going to bring that kind of swagger to that room. As a sixth-round pick, he needs to work on tackling, and he was open in admitting that. Averaged 29 tackles in 2 seasons at Louisville, converted from a wide receiver. So playing the run will be his biggest adjustment as he first gets to the NFL. Ibrahim Campbell was a guy that Jeff Hafley told me about months ago. This guy can play safety at Northwestern, second in school history with 11 interceptions. He's more of a strong safety, though, plays up in the box, can hit hard. He'll have to work on his cover skills. That was the question with him deep. I don't see him as a free safety type that's playing center field. I see him more in the box, backing up Dante Widner, coming in on third and three and leveling a tight end or a running back on a run.
My final question for you, and it kind of deviates off the draft class, but what do you make of ESPN.com's most recent power ranking having the Browns 28th overall?
I love it because there's no pressure now. There's
none.
No, like the expectations, and you got to think that some of these coaches are showing the players this. No one believes in us, and that's when the Cleveland Browns were at their best last year. No one thought they were going in Thursday night and going to upset the Bengals on national TV on short rest. No one thought they could beat the Steelers at home. No one thought they could beat the Saints at home. When the Browns are underdogs with Mike Pettine, so far that's been when they've relished their role. So I hope they move us to 32 in the power rankings. That's fine with me.
But they ended the season last year the same way. And yes, we surprised, but we ended up in most cases where a lot of people thought we would start anyway.
See, this is where the Browns will have to prove it this year. I think they're going to get off to another strong start. It's when you're favored in a game, when you're supposed to win those games against the Texans at home, against the Colts at home, when you have momentum. That's where Mike Pettine and the Cleveland Browns will have to prove it. This underdog role, this whole the league doesn't believe in us, I like that right now, and I think this team will dig out of that hole quickly and prove to the league, no, we have talent. We have Joe Hayden, Joe Thomas. We have cornerstone pieces to win here. I think for the Browns, it'll come down to November and December again. Are they a more veteran-laden team now? They are on paper.
And
now
they're younger at the same time.
Will it be proven in the later months?
I mean, if I'm John DeFilippo, I go into those meetings in the offense and say, Bleacher Report just said we are the worst offense in the NFL.
Yeah.
32nd out of 32 teams.
And Matt, did you ever have a coach use the media like that and show the rankings?
Never show the rankings, you know, but you would reference that people are writing a negative article about you. And all it really does for you as a player, a certain portion of the locker room, it doesn't really care because just like LeBron, they go dark when it comes to reading that kind of stuff, or don't pay attention to the blogs or the writers for the local media because, you know, they can say it's going to rain tomorrow, it's going to be bright and sunny. They take whatever perspective they want, and in some cases they hit a shot in the dark every once in a while. But then there is a certain portion of guys, it's going to fire them up, but then that all fades away because then it's like you get back into – your coach is going to use that, but then it goes away, and you get dive right back into football, your profession, especially for this team. If anybody is reading headlines or read positive, negative, or indifferent, then they're in the wrong state of mind, especially at this point in the season in phase two of this program. It's diving in. It's perfecting. It's growing relationships. It's bonding because those teams that do that are the teams that win in the fourth quarter, and that's the one thing that we need to learn how to do consistently.
ESPN.com last year predicted 1-15. Browns go 7-9, so they predict 4-12 this year. Three-game improvement, right?
The sky is the limit, KJ. The sky is the limit.
They were off last year, really off.
Well, you can follow this fine man at Mr_KevinJones. You can get his great work at ClevelandBrowns.com, and we hope to have you back. I think he survived. Do you think he survived?
Oh, for sure.
I think he survived.
Thanks, guys.
I think he was good. Very business. It was a pyramid-y. Like, we're going to call him King Tut, this guy over here. All right, when we come back, we're going to wrap things up here on this Wednesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Fords. We'll get into the mailbag. Take your calls, answer your tweets. 216-578-0850. Zagura Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.